welcome to the program God and Country Radio, a program that looks at current political, social, economic, prophetic events in the light of biblical exposition. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship. On today's program, I would like to once again discuss the whole issue of racism and racial identity politics. Since we live among unregenerate sinners in the kingdom of man, it's not as if this issue is going to go away anytime soon. The best that we can hope for is that through biblical teaching and evangelism, we can hold down some of the nasty effects. So we have a lot to cover today, and I'll try to be brief. But as you know, racism is back in the news with the NFL taking a knee during the national anthem to protest racism in America. The alternative right, white supremacists, stirred up tension with their rallies in Charlotte. So here's a question for you. And how you answer it will show your political leanings and your political knowledge. Do you think racism is worse now than 20 years ago? Now, many folks in middle America would probably answer no. They would say that things are getting better. I mean, after all, who is a racist in 2017? The entire culture is against racism. If you say anything racist or do anything racist, you are immediately punished by the society. A complete reversal from the Jim Crow era. Now, of course, we see a few neo-Nazis and white supremacists, but they are actually a very small, shrinking group. They get no support from either political party. And over the last couple of years, a couple of their leaders tried to hide their agenda and go mainstream with a new name and a new image, but it failed. So I can understand those who say, no, racism is not getting worse. If anything, racism is diminishing. So why all of a sudden all of these grievances against racism in America? Well, let's consider this from the Christian theological point of view. Since our society is progressively becoming more ungodly, more secular, how could racism improve? Because whenever a people abandon God, sin doesn't go away. It compounds. The wicked sprout up like grass, and all who do iniquity flourish. And obviously, there's more immorality in America. And there is more violence, and more abuse, and greed. And we expect to see more racism. Because sin always comes in a package. Racism will not diminish as America abandons God. It's only going to get worse. The way our culture is going, all of the moral improvements that Christianity has brought to this culture will be reversed so that we will see a return of gambling and prostitution and legalized drugs and dictatorships and even the return of slavery. These things are intrinsic to the way of Satan. Morality does not exist in a culture once God is expelled from that culture. So what I believe we are seeing is not racism diminishing, but racism growing, but with a new face. It's not the old racism where whites are superior to blacks, but it is still a racism that divides everyone, seeing everyone in racial categories, a racism that sees and explains every problem as connected to race. You see, racism, by definition, is a belief that race is the primary determinant of human traits and capabilities. It's the ideology of Herbert Spencer, social Darwinism. Since Darwin classified every creature into scientific families and genus and species, Spencer proposed that humans can also be classified into racial groups according to the color of their skin, according to the pigment in their skin. And this is what people fail to realize. One can be just as much a racist by simply asking people to identify their race on a national census form or in a college application form. You're being asked to disclose the amount of pigment in your skin, and that's racism. You can be just as racist by writing articles that state that the American white population is declining. So what? Why should that be of any concern? Such journalists are racist and they're race baiting. And one can be a racist simply by doing studies that correlate race to income, to crime, to education. Race is actually not the real determiner of those outcomes. It's false correlation. All of these things perpetuate and encourage people to see the world through the eyes of racism. And so now in our society, we have groups that want to be segregated again. Some minority groups want their own dorms on college campuses, want their own clubs. They want their own churches. They want their own neighborhoods. And as we depart from Christian truth here in America, America is no longer going to be a melting pot. You see, the melting pot in America was a Christian phenomenon. Because there can be no unity without the moral, ideological unity found in Christ. Today, finding one's identity in one's race is all the rage. And that's the new face of racism in the 21st century. And I believe it's going to eventually result in a society returning to that old racism. I mean, after all, where do you think the old racism of the 18th and 19th century came from? It came from this philosophy of making distinctions based upon the color of people's skin, which is now being perpetuated again in our culture. And this new racism is not just coming from the political right. It's also coming from the political left. The party that's supposed to be against racism has become the biggest promoter of the philosophy of racism. And it's called identity politics, where political leaders are encouraging the division of people along racial, economic, social lines, pitting one group against another group for political advantage. It's really an appeal to the baser motives of people, to give people scapegoats for their problems. So, this is the new face of racism, which isn't being called racism, but it is racism. So in that sense, race relations may actually be worse today than they were 20 years ago because of secular humanistic social Darwinism. Now, before we get into some scripture, I would like to discuss the social problem, or rather the flashpoint over which there have been racial grievances. Then I will explain the liberal explanation, the conservative explanation, and then the Christian explanation. And I believe this is going to be very helpful for you to see what is going on from a bird's eye point of view. Here is the surface problem. This is what the intellectuals in our society are wrestling with. The black community has not achieved social parity with the white community. That is a fact that cannot be denied. The median income level for white families is $57,000 a year. For black families, $33,000 a year. For Hispanic families, $39,000 a year. Now, by the way, you do know that there's no such thing as the Hispanic race. I just want to mention that. The term was made up in the 20th century to refer to people who have a Spanish culture. And those people are white Europeans. The reason why some Spanish groups have dark skin is because the Muslim Moors invaded Spain in the Middle Ages. Anyway, in education, about 30% of whites have a 4-year college degree, only 16% of blacks. High school graduation rates for blacks is 69%, for whites, 86%. In marriage, about 75% of white women are married, only 52% of blacks. There's about a 20% gap between marriage in the white community and the black community. As far as abortion, black women make up 40% of all abortions, yet they're only 13% of the population. As far as crime, blacks make up 40% of the prison population. And again, they're only 13% of the American population. Blacks commit 52% of homicides in America. Black homicides make up 45% of all murders. And 95% of these deaths are black on black. So even though institutional racism is dead in America, and even though the culture punishes racism, there is still this problem of social economic inequality. How do we explain this? Well, first, the liberal view that these social inequities cannot be explained by anything intrinsic within the black community morally. Remember, in liberalism, there is no such thing as intrinsic moral evil. All evil is caused by one's environment. People are simply responding rationally to their environment. So all of the crimes and all of the family breakdown in the black community must be due to poverty. And what is causing poverty in the black community? It must be because of white racism. That's what's keeping black people from moving on the economic ladder. And if they move up the economic ladder, their social problems will be solved. For the liberal, that has to be the explanation. Because the alternative can only be that a people group or a family group is making poor moral choices, that they are actually morally responsible. And today, that's offensive. The Apostle Paul would have been charged today with hate speech for writing in Titus chapter 1, verse 12, that the Cretans, that family group, that people group that occupied the island of Crete, are liars, evil beasts, and lazy gluttons. The Apostle Paul and the Bible recognize cultural and national sins. Now, liberals today recognize laziness, but they will not admit that it's caused by a moral failure. It has to be caused by the external environment that is sapping the work incentive. And what's that external environment? White racism. So to explain the continual economic, social disparity between the white and black community, which, by the way, is really not that different in the grand scheme of things. I mean, plenty of whites divorce, plenty of whites kill each other, plenty of whites live as parasites off the system. But to explain this 20% difference, the humanist, secular intellectuals on our college campus came up with this theory of white privilege and critical race theory. That white racism must still be rampant in our society. It's unconscious. You're a racist even if you don't know you're a racist. But it's just part of being white, built into the American Constitution. It's part of the psyche. And the only way to eradicate it is to go around the country and put on white privilege conferences, to use guilt to drive white people to finally give up their white privilege. Now, is this the reason for this continual disparity? I've addressed the white privilege movement in previous programs, but let me repeat some conclusions here. It is true that the family majority in any nation does have some privilege. A Japanese man is going to have a slight advantage over a European in Japan. In Israel, a Jew is going to have more of an advantage than a Gentile. The law of God says that that's not the way it ought to be. Deuteronomy chapter 12, the law is to apply to the native as well as to the foreigner. But people are sinners. But the issue is not whether there is some white privilege, or Japanese privilege, or Jewish privilege, or black privilege if you live in Nigeria. The question is, how much is the effect? Is it 2% or 80% of social problems? And second, how is the problem overcome? I'll explain more of this when we get to the Christian view, but the disadvantages due to privilege can easily be overcome by living a godly, disciplined life. And hardship can actually be an advantage. Genesis chapter 50. They meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. So stay positive. As a Christian, you can overcome anything that's thrown at you. So now let's look at the conservative answer. The political rights explanation for the social disparity between the black and white community. Now, when I say political right, I'm not referring to white conservatives, but to black conservatives, Frederick Douglass Republicans, writers like Thomas Sowell, Walter Williams, Alan Keyes, J.C. Watts. And first of all, these conservatives consistently blame liberal government welfare social programs for the destruction of the black community. In the 1960s, the black community was reaching parity with the white community until the government started the war on poverty. And if you take any people group and you give them free stuff, reward them with welfare for having a single parent home, you will ruin that people group. I mean, if I handed out money to my own children, I would ruin them. Just like oil money is ruining Arab youth. Proverbs 16:26, a worker's appetite works for him, for his hunger urges him on. Now that's tough love, and it looks uncompassionate. But sometimes the best thing you can do for people is to allow them to struggle on their own. Second, conservatives have pointed out that much of the racial tensions are being ginned up by race baiters, by social activists in the black community who have perpetuated racial grievances to keep donations coming. And what doesn't sell is you're now responsible for your own success. What sells is other people are to blame. So support my social organization. I'll fix the problem for you. Send me money. Third, the media and academia in America perpetuate racism. Because the culture has abandoned the Bible, the only ethic that is being taught in schools today is anti-racism. It's all the unsaved people have. So in public school, from K to 12th grade, every lesson is about the evils of racism. It's virtue signaling, it's moral preening, and every moral battle, every problem is seen through the lens of racism. Fourth, conservatives assert that it's left-leaning politicians and their identity politics that is perpetuating racial tensions. Just think about this. For the politician, it is safe to fight the boogeyman of racism because a politician today cannot touch any of the other evils of society without being called a moral prude. I mean, the real sins in our society are immorality and abortion and pornography and drugs and alcohol. But politicians today cannot rail against those vices. Only racism and gender inequality is an acceptable evil to confront. Because people like to see themselves as victims, and people hate inequality. So politicians play the race card on every social issue. Everything is connected to racism. Number five. Conservatives blame the disparity between the black and white community on liberal education policies. They keep the blacks in poor performing schools by refusing to allow for school choice. So it's a lack of freedom that's keeping down the black community. Then conservatives will go on to point out that the reason for the disparity is not racism, but moral choice. If you look at the statistics, those who are in the black community who get a job, get married, don't have children out of wedlock, finish high school, have the exact same economic and social outcomes as whites and Hispanics. So the real problem has nothing to do with race or white privilege. It has to do with moral choice. So, liberals blame racism, Conservatives blame the government and the lack of personal responsibility. So where do Christians stand in all this? I mean, what is the view of historic Christian theology? Well, you probably know that the Christian position agrees mostly with the assessment of conservatives. Because conservatism, as an ideology, feeds off of Christian values. And it reminds me of Jesus' words to the disciples about the Pharisees. The Pharisees were the conservative party in Jesus' day. Matthew 23, the scribes and the Pharisees have seated themselves in the chair of Moses. Therefore, all that they tell you, do and observe. But do not do according to their deeds, for they say things and do not do them. So Christians agree with much of conservatism, as far as conservatism that follows the law of God, even though conservatives can often be the hypocritical Pharisees of the day. But what Christians do is add gospel truth to what is ignored by secular conservatives. And the Christian teaching is that nothing will change in any people group unless they become new creations in Christ. People need to be born again by faith and repentance in Jesus Christ. There needs to be a spiritual revival in a nation or a people group for there to be any change. Then people will have new hearts. Then they will have an inexplicable desire to do what's right. Now, one of the main biblical truths Christians stand for is that sin is never to be blamed on the environment. Always take personal responsibility, and this was Jesus' radical teaching. Luke chapter 6, for there is no good tree which produces bad fruit. None. Nor, on the other hand, a bad tree which produces good fruit. For each tree is known by its fruit. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth what is good, and the evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth what is evil. You're either a good tree or you're a bad tree. If you're a good tree, you cannot help but bring forth good fruit no matter what your environment. If you're a bad tree, you cannot help but bring forth evil no matter what good environment you're put in. So people need to be changed by the power of God. They need to be transformed into a good tree. And whatever people group accept the gospel and follow the teachings of Jesus Christ, that people group will become the successful dominant group in any nation, socially and economically. And the cure for all ills is the gospel of Jesus Christ. So then, why is the black community so socially and economically depressed? I mean, after all, it's not as if the white community is more spiritual than the black community. The white community has plenty of atheistic, humanistic leaders. In fact, the white community has a monopoly on the apostate denominations and preachers. Well, I believe the problem in the black community is theological. As they say in politics, follow the money. In sociology, follow the theology. And what changed in the black community in the 1960s was not just government programs, but a rash of false teachers who taught racist liberation theology. The theology of Booker T. Washington, Frederick Douglass, even the theology of Martin Luther King was replaced with the theology of liberal racists. Now, there are still plenty of solid, biblical, black churches and preachers, but they've been silenced by this new generation. The white community has also been inundated with false teachers, but the white community is living off of the moral capital of 1,500 years of Christianity. The white community is also in for a big fall, both economically and socially. So the bottom line for Christians, the Christian view, is 1 Corinthians 15. I delivered to you of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for sins according to the Scriptures. And 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. So the solution is not more wasteful, silly government programs, marches, protests. The solution is a changed life through faith in Christ Jesus and through the power of God. The preaching of the cross is to those who perish foolishness, but to us who believe, it is the power of God. And let me close with this testimony. This was posted on Facebook. A man by the name of Andrew writes, "Watching Jordan Peterson was a gateway drug to Christianity. I have given myself to Christ, and it wouldn't have happened without Jordan. I used to be a regular porn and weed-addicted atheist like everyone else. Miserable, unsorted, nihilist, self-righteous in my surety of the meaninglessness of the universe. But after becoming addicted to Jordan Peterson and biblical lectures, I moved quickly up the ladder to the harder stuff. Matthew, Mark, Luke, the Apostle Paul, C.S. Lewis, Lee Strobel, William Lane Craig, and even Andrew Clavin. I gave my life to Jesus Christ, and try as I might, I can't get my despair back. I can't stop smiling and loving my family and the people around me. Praise God for his goodness." I'll leave it to you to unwrap all of the truths in that testimony. But that's the gospel cure. A changed heart through the power of God, through faith in Jesus Christ. You've been listening to God and Country Radio with your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship. Radio website to listen to this program again or to listen to past programs is godandcountryradio.org. This week I didn't get to the text I wanted to look at, 1 Corinthians 3:11, so I'll pick that up next week. Stay informed. If you email me, I will send you a short synopsis of each upcoming program. That's godandcountryradio.org. Thank you for making God and Country a part of your discipleship in the Word. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, help us, your people, not to be deceived by the world. From all the voices coming from the right and the left, help us to stand firm in our conviction that the gospel is the only cure for sinners, that the gospel trumps all other solutions and makes all other solutions insignificant. Help us then to proclaim the gospel with all boldness. In the name of Jesus, our Savior, we pray. Amen.